Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, at Cap Radio, we like to think of ourselves as voices of authenticity, but there is a performance troupe in Sacramento called Authentic Voices for a different reason. Cap Radio's Donna Apadoni saw them perform, decided to interview several members of the group, and now joins us with those conversations. Good morning, Donna.
Hi, Vicky.
So how'd you find out about Authentic Voices?
I just ran into them, literally. About a year ago, I spoke to a group in Sacramento, and Authentic Voices performed at the same event, and I was fascinated with them. And I said, I have to interview you, and they agreed. But then with COVID, it took a really long time to actually get together, get in studio here at Cap Radio. We finally recorded earlier this summer. They perform. It's all about social justice. It's so interesting. Original material, a series of vignettes, just 1 or 2 minutes long. They include homophobia, racism, domestic abuse. They don't lecture. They don't tell people what to think. They just tell their stories. And these are all original stories, personal experiences of the people in the group.
Yeah, I read on their website, on their homepage, it says, edutainment, like education.
Right, right. And entertainment
and
all together.
Entertainment. Yeah. It was easier to read than to actually say and get out of my mouth. What's the origin story for this group? How did they get together?
One of the people I spoke with is Reverend Georgia Prescott, who until recently, she just retired, but for 23 years, she was pastor of Center for Spiritual Awareness in West Sac. I asked her how the group got started.
I have done readers' theater around women and alcoholism and around lesbianism. I have done two different theaters when I lived in the Bay Area. So when I got here and I saw how much people wanted to know each other but didn't know how, had no idea how to start those conversations, I thought, you know what, we need to do a readers' theater around inclusivity and diversity. And it's also to... start conversations in a fun and gentle way. I think what happens so often is that we get separated, we get polarized, we have these ideas of who one another is that are totally false. So by sharing these stories, and they are our stories, they're not something we read in a book or watched on television, they're things that we actually lived through. And I think that helps the audience say, oh, I see how much they love each other. I can see that on stage. I guess maybe I could work a little closer toward that.
Reverend Georgia said they worked for about a year just writing the material and editing the material and getting through stuff with each other. She said it was really emotional at times, but everybody in the group stuck with it.
Yeah, these are heavy and uncomfortable topics, but they're being approached in a fun and gentle way. How do they find the right balance to finesse that and keep it light?
It's fascinating, and it really works. Some of the stories do have humor built into them. They find some humor. They add a little bit of music and dance from time to time in different places. Their success is that they move so quickly from the one-minute vignettes from one to the next one. So you don't really have a lot of time to process before the next one comes up. You might get a real gut-wrenching story, but then they right away move to something lighter. And the day I was in the audience listening to them, I had so many emotions, like all in a row. I was sad. I was happy. I was shocked. I was horrified. All of it, all together.
Well, I imagine it has to be emotional for the performers as well.
Oh, absolutely. And Tim Garcia talked about that.
When I had the first meeting, a little more than a year ago, and one of the stories that was shared was about abuse. And so it was a little triggering for me, but I was able to empathize with that person in a way that I didn't know. I had known this person for a long time in the church, but I had no idea that they had this experience. And so through that conversation, I felt like I got some healing for experiences that I had in my life. And that was before we even went to the stage, because they are so powerful, each one of these, whether they bring up tears or laughter, they're just authentic and real.
And they're not memorized. This is reader's theater, which means they're working from a script in a notebook. And Tim said that helps them stay focused on the material. It also is part of what makes them authentic.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, we're talking about topics he touched upon, abuse, alcoholism, racism, and the list goes on and on. But is anything off limits?
Couple of things. For one thing, they're very careful about who is in the audience. They don't usually perform for groups younger than college age, so that's important. They're also very careful about language. They're trying to promote understanding. They're not in this for any kind of shock value, so they make sure that their language is very respectful of the audience and that everything they do is very respectful of each other, too. This is Ayanna Kabouri.
And we have had conversations where some of the members have just said, you know, we can keep this in, but I can't do that line. Somebody else is going to have to do that. I just can't do it. And so we adjust because our stories, gratefully, are not connected to us individually when we're performing. I might be a different gender than I am. I might be a different age than I am and different color. So we rotate these stories and we do that on purpose to try to just break down those preconceptions and, you know, put the fact that there's variety and diversity in your world, right? So we're going to provide that. We're going to help you by trying not to have you be so attached to what you think I am when you see me.
We get laughter. We get tears. I can see people kind of get smaller in their chairs. It's all kinds of them. Yeah.
Mostly, I think, I would say the predominant feeling is amazement. They, mm-hmm. They're just amazed that we're the diversity that we are and we're speaking about these diverse topics. I think I think a lot of people are just like, how did you do it? You know, similar questions that you're asking us, we get from audience members. And what do I do next now that I'm all open and I'm aware? What do I do with all this energy? You know, what's my next step? Which is my favorite question. For me, I say whatever it is that's on your mind, you know, speak to somebody about it. Go to somebody that you care about and talk about it. And then if you feel like that's helpful, then go to somebody that you don't know or that you know casually and ask a question if you really have an interest. And I think it's about an introspection. I think that people have to walk away and feel this. And we're also developing some ways to work with people after in a workshop to kind of help them process some of what they've experienced in the show and release some of that and see where that can take them in terms of their expansion.
Sure. I mean, and it may be a case where the next time you're home for a family dinner and your uncle says something racist.
Exactly. Or homophobic.
Or misogynist or whatever.
We're going to listen to a part of the performance in just a moment, but I'm curious, Donna, going from someone in the audience to actually having really intimate conversations with the performers, how did that change the way that you viewed and the way you view authentic voices in this performance troupe?
I was very impressed with their performance. I was very, I was impressed with seeing the performance, but then getting to know them and hearing them talk about how they do it, it adds a lot of depth to that. And the fact that they will talk to an audience before and after the performance, everyone has the benefit of having that depth.
Yes, but I would imagine because you just have this outpouring of emotions that are left to kind of sit with and navigate when you walk out the door and go home.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to a part of the performance. Can you set it up for us?
Yes, I can. We're going to listen to three vignettes, and it starts with a spinoff of the old film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
I was in love. That once in a lifetime, I can't believe I found the one. I couldn't wait to bring him home to meet the family. He was the one. Grandma, Grandma, I'm home.
Oh, hello, baby. It's so good to see you. And who is that?
Oh, Grandma, this is Pierre.
Pierre? What? Honey.
He's French. Well, he's Swiss French.
Oui.
Baby, he's white.
He's not that kind of white, Grandma. He's French.
I love you, baby, but he's not coming into my house for dinner or ever. Mm-mm.
Grandma, you know, I looked to my mother for comfort, who looked away in silent agreement and said,
he's white. They are all the same. You'll see.
Mm-mm-mm.
All I know is that we spent the next three holidays in Geneva, and I learned French, and he never did make it into my grandmother's house. You know, this next piece was prompted because Like many policies of the U.S. government, the policies of immigration in this country are heavily influenced by the impact they have on the wealthy. If naturalized citizens didn't want to do certain work, no problem. We'll make exceptions to our plan to minimize the entry of non-white people into the country. So here is the piece. During the Trump administration, legal immigration was cut in half with a rally cry, America is for Americans. And believe it or not, that is exactly what the 14th Amendment of the Constitution says.
But Senator Lee of Utah would love to amend the Constitution of the United States. He put forth the proposal that certain undocumented immigrants would be exempt from deportation if they worked as cooks, waiters, butlers, housekeepers, maids, governesses, valets, babysitters, janitors, laundresses, furnacemen, caretakers, handymen, gardeners, footmen, groom, and chauffeurs of automobiles for family use.
Parents should stay as long as they're of service. They should be glad they have jobs.
Yeah, it sure isn't the kind of work I'd like to do.
Servitude is alive and well in America. Life is all right in America. If you're all white in America, life is all right in America. If you're all white in America.
Excessive force by law enforcement is an ongoing issue, particularly for black people and people of color. Often, there is no accountability. And ironically, the police officers are often rewarded. This next piece deals with that.
Officer Slam, thank you for coming in today for an interview.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm a people person. I like to help people find self-motivation. In this incident, I had to resourcefully get a disobedient student to behave. And I did not require any additional assistance. You know, that school is full of violent inmate or students, you know.
Wasn't it a young female student on her cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Did she comply?
She sure did. Job well done on my part. I pushed her and shoved her to the ground. You know, the principal stood there and did nothing, but I handled it. I was certain that I would get a raise, but...
They fired you. Well, I just have one more question, Officer Slam. When can you start?
Yes.
We heard Reverend Georgia Prescott, Ayanna Kabouri, and Tim Garcia performing as Authentic Voices.
You know, these are the three of the core people in Authentic Voices. How many are there altogether?
A total of 7 or 8, depending on the performance. They'd never perform longer than an hour. Sometimes it's a little bit shorter than that, depending on the audience, but 7 or 8 in total.
So if someone is listening, wants to see them perform, or wants to schedule them for even a performance, how do they go about doing that?
They have a great website. It's called AuthenticVoicesOurStories.com. That's all one word, AuthenticVoicesOurStories.com.
Thanks for introducing us to Authentic Voices, Donna.
My pleasure.
And that is CAP Radio Morning Edition host, Donna Appadoni. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez and Chris Feltz. Joe Barr is CAP Radio's chief content officer. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.